Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. Today's episode is going to be a bit different in honor of Tech Rodeo, a four-day activation currently going on in Houston and hosted by Houston Exponential. It's the fourth year for the event that aims to showcase and connect Houston founders, investors, startup development organizations, and more. I caught up with some of the movers and shakers out and about this week to ask them about Houston's innovation ecosystem, how it's changed, and where it's going. I started with talking to Damiana Cook and Joshua Taylor, who created the Black Founders Network. Damiana, recently the entrepreneur in residence at the ION, founded an AI and robotics-based drink technology startup called Boozed, and Joshua is on Capital Factory's investment team. I asked them how they got their starts in the Houston tech ecosystem and how they've observed it change.
Over the years, so I was a founder initially, did that for 5 years. So from 2016, full-time 2017, I think there was that bump in like really trying to collaborate, but there really was a lot of friction with people coming together. Now that's finally starting to shift, right? And you know, we had that big funding goal was reached in 2021. I think now the outside world is finally getting attention and more so energy transition, of course. But as we've probably heard, I think Houston does have the diversity of the future is here. And I think you're finally seeing like the rise of the rest start to try to get interested in tech here. And so I've seen the beginnings of those. People who aren't traditional start to come into the fold.
Yeah. And I have a unique perspective. I worked at 1301 Fanning, where Station Houston was, and an aspiring founder who was just looking for a place to kind of land. And the only place I can think of, and this was 2017, 2018, was Rice, right? And so I would go into Rice and sit on different business plan competitions and things of that nature. And then one day it just happened to approached the 19th floor by accident and ran into Station Houston. And so that was sort of the initial heartbeat of like the startup sort of meetups. But what has transitioned since that time is what's most obvious is just physical space and everyone coming out of their silos and coming together. It used to be that you would sit in Houston and you couldn't really find founders, VCs, investors. Mm-hmm. And now with the opening of the ION and Greentown Labs and all of these different startup development organizations, you can somewhat pinpoint where to go, although there's still a long way in terms of where we're headed with roadmaps and identifying them, but there's a starting point. And I think that's what's been most impactful so far over the years is that we have a starting point and we have a launch pad, essentially.
I also asked them what they thought Houston still needed. Here's what Josh and Damiana said.
Yeah, there's a few things, but I think the great upside with Houston, iterating to my first point, is like, if the world is going to look like Houston, then we're already ahead because it's always about the people, right? Whether it's a team, whether it's a city, right? Whether it's a family, it's all about the people within that culture that they set. And so I think we have a great opportunity to continue to define that culture of what the city is going to continue to be like. But in terms of the startup ecosystem, what's missing is really like a big winner, a startup that really changes the way we do things. And it doesn't have to be social, like a social media company. It could just be like maybe an energy company is just going to come out of here and just be the big winner. Like U of H is the number one college basketball team. Everybody loves a winner, right? All the people from the fringes. So people that are sitting in ExxonMobil, Chevron, whatever, they're like, oh, I want to go work at a startup. I want to take a risk, right? So that's how we do it, is like one of these companies building right now has to be a big winner to attract talent to come out, want to innovate. The next person that's, man, I just want something more. Maybe I go build or I join that next starting startup, and that starts the cycle. And then those successful people fund the next people. And so that's a multi-decade, half-decade thing, but I think that's what the missing thing is. It's happening now.
Yeah, I completely agree. The big winner and then collaboration, just continued collaboration. SDO organizations all coming together, founders collaborating, sharing resource information, because Houston is such a massive city, we just have to make it dense. We have to just keep pulling everything in terms of collaboration. And so we're excited to be here and have launched the Texas Black Founders Network, because our mission really is to connect those resources to Black founders. Yeah. And so collaboration, and hopefully through perhaps our network, we'll have a big win. That's what we're gunning for. So.
My next conversation was with Legina Harris, the founder of The Us Space, a company that's providing intentional innovation space to women of color. I asked her about her experience within the Houston innovation ecosystem, both then and now.
I guess then to me would be 2019, and I came in a really cool time where Div Inc. was starting to come around, and Innovation Hub or Impact Hub was starting to come around. And so I'm part of that entrance where I think everybody's just really excited and really open to collaborations and looking for the next opportunity to really lean into the mission and support founders and support the people that you're saying that you're supporting through your mission. So I think the evolution for me really starts from the openness to the idea of wanting to do it. And now, like here at Tech Rodeo, it's just like everybody's like, yes, we've been seeing each other for years. I've been thinking about it. And now there's this opportunity to do it, whatever that is, the collaboration, the partnership. So there's just this openness, and it sounds almost cheesy, but everybody's answers are starting to just be yes. Like, why can't we figure this out? Why can't we make it easier for founders and investors to connect? There's no gatekeeping, or the removal of the gates is starting to happen.
Looking forward, what is the missing piece of Houston's innovation ecosystem? What's next that we need to focus on?
We need to focus on all of these pockets of people and all these businesses that are really trying to make changes, that really are making changes. We need to align a little bit more so that there's shared calendars, so that a founder doesn't have to decide to go listen to investors talk and meet those investors, versus how to write a grant, versus how to pitch. So a collaborative type of calendar and more communication, more people coming together in that way. Like if you're doing a workshop and I'm doing the same workshop, let's do the workshop together. Let's get a bigger sponsor to fund that so that more people can get better food and can have better connections. So when I think about that, it goes to what I was saying earlier with the gatekeepers. We just need more people with skeleton keys to just open the doors and for more collaborations to happen. The past, the present, and the future all have to combine to make this innovation, to make the collaborations, to make the partnerships a real thing. And so the past releasing to the present and the present opening doors for the future is like the biggest thing that I can think of that we're not necessarily missing, but we're dipping our toes in and we need to dive into it.
Okay, gotcha.
My next guest was Brandi Guidry, who leads the Pearland Innovation Hub. She has a background from all sides of the equation, including corporate and government roles. I started with asking her what she has seen has been the biggest changes to Houston's entrepreneurial community.
So in the last at least 5 to 7 years, you would see maybe just one entity that was the premier organization or nonprofit to help support. We have gained a multitude of different organizations operating at different levels and serving different communities. So I think that's great, to where it's not just focused on one type of business owner or one type of business. So we've been able to ideally serve the broader community.
So what is left to develop in Houston? What's our missing piece that we need to kind of identify?
I think connecting. So when you build, I don't want to say a spider web, but you have a multitude of things, just making sure they're probably connected and everybody understands each purpose, even if there is overlap. I know for myself, for the Pearland Innovation Hub, I look at it as a Venn diagram. You can be a member of a chamber of, you know, other SDOs and different things, but there's always some common ground, and making sure we understand that to where we're better serving the respective founders, investors, stakeholders, and influencers, because we don't want to deter people from going elsewhere or giving up on their respective journey. So we really are working on that mapping, whether it be for resources or ecosystems, so everybody knows. But then I think we need to have a refresh periodically to make sure that that vision is still relevant and makes sense, and so people are aware, even, you know, what the climate is now, and whether, you know, hopefully we're being proactive versus reactive. But, you know, COVID shook up some things. There could be something else in the economy that shifts things. So we need to make sure we're educating people about that journey as well.
My last guest for the show is Chad Spensky of Authenticate, a cybersecurity startup that's using its technology to make access, physical and digital, more secure and streamlined. Chad is a bit newer to the Houston innovation ecosystem, and I asked him what his experience has been so far.
So I moved here a year ago, almost exactly a year today. Tech Rodeo was the first thing I ever did in Houston. I showed up with my demo. I was like, hey, Houston, here's my startup. Even in the last year, I've at least understood a lot more than I did when I moved here. I was totally blind. I didn't know like where to get an office space, where founders hung out, like where do I meet other business owners. I'd say like the thing I've discovered is Houston is humongous. It's very fractured. Like I started over in West Campus of the Canon, and then I went to the Ion, and now finally, you know, we're VC backed. We got investment from an Austin-based firm called Silverton. We got office space downtown, and that for me like unlocked the secret of Houston. Like the downtown area is so good for startups. Like the rent is affordable. There's restaurants everywhere. There's bars. There's infrastructure. There's trains. There's parking. Like since moving here and actually like setting up shop, having a door with our name on it, like I feel like we're finally, you know, we've set our stamp on Houston. Like Authenticate has arrived. We're here.
When I asked Chad what he thought still needed improvement, he observes that while Houston has a diversity of business, the city has some work to do on its identity in order to be easier to navigate for outsiders.
So that one, I kind of think I've heard this before, and I kind of agree with it. Like the lack of identity, like, you know, kind of why like Houston isn't a vacation spot. Like it's kind of everything. Like living here, it's great because you get a piece of everything. But like it's very much an energy city, right? So that's their definitive. You're a chemical engineer or a petrol engineer, start your company here, it's gonna be awesome. But as like a software company, like kind of where do we belong? And like where should we have set up shop, right? Like where are the other software engineers hanging out? Like are they in the Galleria? Or are they in Pearland? Are they in Sugarland? Like there's just, it's such a big city that there's no like map for startups of like go here, right? Like if you go to Austin, you just go to Congress and probably ask a random person walking on the street and they probably have a startup, right? Like where is that happening in Houston, I think is like was the biggest thing as an outsider moving here.
I wrapped up each of my conversations with these Houston innovators by asking them what they thought Houston and its innovation ecosystem had to offer. Here's what Damiana and Josh said.
Well, honestly, I would say it's talent.
Yeah.
I think the biggest asset is that there are so many incredible, smart people in the ecosystem, and you have these conversations in isolated silos, like Cup of Joey, founders meetups, and you are just blown away by the amount of talent and experience. But I don't know that we're magnifying the voices of all of that talent as well. And I think we can do a much better job of magnifying the voices and exposing the talent that's here in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Definitely agree. Like, it goes back to the fundamental part of the demographic of Houston, right? Like when you go to any building, right? It's not always like this, but mostly, especially in the startup ecosystem, the world is represented in those rooms, even from male to female to demographic to culture. It's pretty, like the room we were just in, right? That's how Houston kind of is a lot. And so I think if you think, break it down to industry, right? Aerospace, energy transition, right? Some type of clean tech, and you go to software as well. I see those ideas across the spectrum. Maybe, hey, we're more familiar with the deep tech here, but how, and this has been talked about before, how do those become more horizontally integrated to where people can collaborate together and just, hey, I have friends in all these places, right? I can hop, right? When you have competition, that creates higher level thinking, right? We join a group and we're like, we're all gonna grind and run together. Well, now I'm accountable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you still one of my employees, that's actually kind of good because that creates competition. You have to serve your people better than all things. When you're stuck in complacency, you don't have to improve. So I think starting to shake that talent up and create not just the founders meeting, but like employees of startups and employees of corporations getting interested in innovating.
Legina described the benefit of Houston's ecosystem as being, well, a very well-rounded ecosystem.
I think I always go back to like the zombie apocalypse, right? Like if you lock down Houston, everything we need is here. You have your big oil and gas companies that need tech. You have the tech innovators, you have the HBCU, you have the large PWIs, you have the community colleges. We have like three of the top three entrepreneur programs here in Houston, out of the country, right? So when you think about everything we need is right here, and you can move around too. You could start in undergrad and have moved from Rhode Island and stay down here and go through large companies to small companies to startups to starting something to giving back to the community. So I think it really just goes back to everything that you need is here. Everybody's open to doing the things, and staying out of silos is so important into those innovation and collaboration moments to happen.
For Brandy, it's all about the education and the pipeline it creates.
I would say our pipeline, we've had a lot of discussions about that today. So I will take it back even before higher ed, whether it be college or university level, even our secondary schools, because you can see some academies and different things in focus. We even have elementary schools and students learning about how to be an investor, how to be an entrepreneur. So we are getting them early, and I think it's what's needed, because entrepreneurship, it looks different now than it did some years ago. It's not something just for a certain type of person. You can start at various ages and reinvent yourself. And so I would say at the various educational levels, and then also within the respective businesses. Myself, even, I've worked in intelligence with the government and with corporate America. So you can transition between the different sectors and tap into talent from different places. And hopefully that allows for diverse thought and methodologies to be able to be transferred wherever you're going.
Chad, who moved from the West Coast, said he's seen Houston's best asset as, well, Houston itself.
I think it's the quality of life. I've said that multiple times to my friends. They're like, oh my God, you must really miss Santa Barbara. Like, what a beautiful place. But our quality of life is so much higher here. Like, your dollar goes farther. The people are really nice. Like, I read an interview this morning with 50 Cent moved here. And they asked him why he moved to Houston. And he's like, I've just never seen so many random acts of kindness. He's like, every time I've been to Houston, it's just like nice people, nice culture. And it's very welcoming, which like is kind of, I don't know, not the opposite, but other cities I've lived in, like Boston, it's very cutthroat, right? It's like the only one can win, whereas I feel like the attitude in Houston, at least, is like, there's plenty to go around, right? Like, we can all succeed, and everyone actually helps each other.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.